Are you someone who loves Christmas to the point that you really hate to take the decorations down, even if it's now January 15th? If you answered yes, you are a Noelophile. And so am I. And this show is for you. Hi,
I'm Dot Cannon. And for this website, I also like to use the pseudonym Noella Noelophile.
On this show, we're going to be talking about Christmas in general and California Christmas in particular. My guests and I are going to tell you about special places you can go and things you can do during the Christmas season. We'll fill you in on gifted artists who are creating things you might just like to consider
putting under your Christmas tree for the important people in your life.
We'll also do one other thing. We're going to be talking with people who are doing exactly what Charles Dickens' Scrooge promised to do, honoring Christmas in their hearts and keeping it all the year. So, let's get started.
There are so many wonderful holiday shows in San Francisco. We decided as a team that maybe we should go in a different direction. I heard this wonderful quote recently from Sally Hogmead. She's a motivational speaker. And she said, different is better than better. And she's right.
San Francisco Bazaar has an exciting first happening this year. They're offering a brand new fall show called the Urban Epicurean Festival. Urban Epic Fest for short. And it's going to be showcasing not only the local crafters and makers, but Bay Area farmers, chefs, winemakers, and gardeners. Jamie Chan is the co-founder of San Francisco Bazaar, co-creator of the new Urban Epic Fest, and a creative entrepreneur in her own right. Jamie, could you tell me a little bit about your own creative journey as a fiber artist, please?
Okay. In college, I'm a scientist by training, but I wanted to pick up a hobby, and often people pick up something to do with your hands, right? And so I wanted to learn about knitting, and I did, and then I became very, very interested in wanting to really get in touch with the source of fibers and more sustainable choices and really looking at the whole cycle of the fiber processing that's done all over the world. And so I became very interested in dyeing my own yarn, spinning my own yarn, sourcing the wool, and really understanding the stories and the types of breeds that go into making a lot of the commercial yarns that we see today on our shelves. And of course, around that time that I was in graduate school, there was this huge kind of resurgence of young people in my age group who were just getting back to handcraft and what we call DIY now. And I think that really excited me, and I started my own business, gosh, back in 2006 or 5, maybe.
We're talking about Urban Fauna Studio.
Oh, yeah. So my husband and I had been doing our fiber arts. We've been doing craft shows all over the West Coast, Portland, Seattle, and, of course, in California. And then we decided to open our own retail store, which we had for about 4 years, and we sold sustainable green products that were for the fiber craft artists.
Do I understand correctly that was the first green fiber and art supply store in the San Francisco Bay Area?
Oh, yes. Yes, so we are the first green craft store in San Francisco to be a certified green business. And what that means is it's not necessarily our product lines, which were completely focused on sustainable or local made. It was also that the business practice itself was green. So all the products we use, the web host we use, everything was really focused on offsetting as much carbon emissions as well as thinking about waste stream reduction and other green practices.
Exciting stuff. And from there, how did you first come to start your first event?
Are you talking about San Francisco Bazaar?
I sure am.
Yeah. So that was even before the fiber art, in a way, because the Bazaar is a chain of shows that was started by a bunch of independent artists like myself in 2001 in the Boston area, and they just wanted to put on a craft show. This was way before the days of many other popular shows now in the nation, and so I think it's one of the first, being that we started in 2001, and it just became very popular, and other people in other cities wanted to activate very similar events. And so until 2006, the Maker Fair, which is a nationwide festival, got in touch with the Bazaar and said, we really want a West Coast branch. And I was a person of interest who wanted to really start it. And so we started our own holiday show in 2007. And it's really kind of taken off from there. We used to have shows in Los Angeles, Cleveland, Austin, here in San Francisco, and Boston. And currently, the existing shows now are in San Francisco and Cleveland.
What do you remember very best about that first year of San Francisco Bazaar? What was it like for you?
I don't know, a bunch of unknowns, wondering if it was actually going to become a good show. And that year, 2007, 2008, I really feel like people were very excited, at least in our media community, to support this kind of event. And so we had a banner year. It was amazing, of course, and artists were doing really well, and they saw hope for sustainability and making locally made or handcrafted items. It was a wonderful show. And, you know, most of our shows now, we will tell sponsors, you know, tens of thousands of attendees, which is true. But at the end of the day, the first show was probably only several thousand, but it was strong in that people were coming out and supporting handmade and really just putting all of their holiday dollars where it mattered. So it was a wonderful, wonderful first year. But we definitely did not know what to expect at first. We just knew we were going to do this because we had confidence that, you know, the people in this area were really supporting this kind of event, but we didn't know it would be so popular at the time.
What was one of the absolute most wonderful memories you have from that first San Francisco Bazaar?
I don't know. I just remember being terrified for the part of the morning of. I'm like, I don't know if we're going to set up properly and get everything launched in time. But the most wonderful memories, I think, are realizing that a show can come together so quickly and that a community of people can really build a village of handmade and sustainable brands and the people around it in such a short amount of time. Our shows are really known for short setup days and time, and just people, the artists all come together. There's no quibbling. There's no fighting oftentimes. People are just coming with good intentions to be there, to tell their story. And so it's just a very wonderful feeling to see it happen only in a matter of several hours for our first few shows, you know, that vendors flowed in and you have, you know, 100 plus, now 200 plus people sitting there, you know, with their own shops popped up out of nowhere, basically. It's really amazing. So that's a really great feeling to see that it's such a team effort with all of our artists.
It sounds almost magical.
It is very magical.
In the interim, you've had something special happen. You've evolved into a new show.
Yeah. So since we're coming upon our 10-year anniversary, and there are so many wonderful holiday shows in San Francisco, oh, so many, we decided as a team that maybe we should go in a different direction. I heard this wonderful quote recently from Sally Hogmead. She's a motivational speaker. And she said, different is better than better. And she's right. I think that there are a lot of holiday craft shows, but I wanted to do something different. I think it's important as a producer to really feel passionate about the event. And not that we were losing passion, we were just starting to feel like we were part of a mill of wonderful shows that all kind of had the same message. And so we were looking for something to really throw at the community and the press in a different angle. And so we created the Urban Epicurean Festival, which is more of a focus on encompassing all of the bounty of the Bay Area in fall, which, I mean, I'm a native of San Francisco. I'm a fourth generation San Franciscan. I've seen things change, but at the same time, I've seen them stay the same. And we have so many wonderful food makers, wonderful wine and beer brewers in the immediate area, and of course, our core of designers, which grows every year. And so we wanted to have a show that really encompasses all of those elements, and as well as garden and design and you know, sustainable practice, because that's definitely my focus too.
Take our listeners and me on an imaginary tour of this, would you? If everything's going exactly the way you want it to be, we walk in to Fort Mason on November 7th. What do we see and what do we experience?
So what you're going to see is definitely the core of our previous, you know, 9 years of doing the show. You're going to see wonderful artists who are either new to the scene completely. We definitely look for emerging artists and designers who have never done a show before of this size in our area. You're also going to see our core of returning vendors who have wonderful followings. They come back. It's like reuniting with family. It's great. But aside from that, you're going to have three stages with demonstrations and workshops. Some you may have to pay a small fee for. Others are completely free, where we'll have experts from the Bay Area coming and talking about everything from fermenting to brewing beer, making your own cheese, gardening and patios, or balconies or alleyways, anything, you know, that has to do with gardening, growing, and making food and making craft in the Bay Area. So we're really trying to bring a bigger educational component to our attendees, as well as, you know, just excite people about the thought of making more in their individual lives. Supporting handmade is lovely, but, you know, we're all makers, you know, as Maker Faire has proven over this last year, you know, with their 10th year anniversary, the Year of the Maker. And I think that it's a really wonderful thing to think about the fact that we, as San Franciscans, have so much to offer each other. So we're trying to really make that happen.
I love that idea that we're all makers. Let's tempt our listeners. What's something that folks listening right now might want to learn to make at the Urban Epic Festival for maybe Christmas gifts this year?
So I think we're going to have a lot of wonderful handcrafts, because we're known for that. So there have been organizations like Scrap. They are a artist reusable resource organization, and I'm sure they will be out again to show people how to create upcycled art with reusable materials. We'll have stitching. I'm sure we'll have printing demonstrations, and among other things. But definitely, and also there will be workshops on terrarium making, how to make green small gardens you can give away for the holidays.
I love that. Also, let's highlight one or two of the vendors, maybe a couple that have been with you, and perhaps one or two of the emerging artists. Who do we see and what do they have?
So, returning vendors, we have lots of wonderful artists. One of them who's been with us from almost year one is Bug Under Glass, Kevin Clark. And Kevin is actually an old grad school buddy of mine. I'm a biologist, and he studied at the California Academy of Sciences in bug conservation. And now he actually mounts insects, which are sustainably harvested, into wonderful dioramas and art prints. And he's been doing it, you know, for as long as we've been in business, if not longer. So probably 10 plus years making a living at it. And he has a wonderful following. He's been on TV for his artwork. He's been on a reality show. And so he will be back again selling, you know, new prints, and he collaborates with other vendors in our show, which we love. We love seeing the artists work with each other and producing new products, new lines. It's very synergistic and really inspirational, I think, for the attendees as well as future vendors. The new vendors that we're going to have, we're really excited to have growers. So we're going to have people who are actually producing local flowers, local florists. We're going to have, you know, microbreweries come out and talk about their process and sell their products. We're going to have lots of different food and drink makers out, I think, this year.
That sounds like so much fun. When you say the insects are sustainably harvested, what do you mean?
So I think what it means, to the best of my knowledge, is that they are raised in their native habitat, but they are raised on farms, so they are not caught in the wild. Which, you know, is significant, because a lot of the mounted live animals in general, I suppose, are all caught, you know, in a non-sustainable manner. They're just caught from the wild, and you're potentially damaging those populations. So Kevin makes sure to really purchase from sources that are farmed or sustainably collected in a way that they're not damaging the native habitat or the native populations of those insects.
Bugunderglass.com, I'm guessing, would be his website if people would like to see his work?
That's right.
Tell me also, please, I'm looking at your San Francisco Bazaar staff, and you've got all kinds of fun titles like Master of Magic and Whimsy and Patron Saint of Lost Books. What are some of the stories behind these titles?
Yeah, so we're kind of a motley crew. I hope that's not seen as a negative thing, because I'm very proud of our staff and team. They are all made up of vendors. They have all been people who vended with us from day one, and just identify themselves as people who want to see the show going. And so basically they all get special names because they all have their own businesses. And I think we are very unique in that sense. You know, we're a small team, and we're all artisans ourselves in one way or another. So our production manager, Kim Chan, she is a landscape architect by day, but she also produces a series of green sustainable art prints where she maps out green spaces in various large cities around the world. It's really beautiful, very architectural, and also very aesthetically pleasing, her prints. And so they're all small batch prints. Our webmaster, Laura Henry, was a crafter herself. Now she's a landscape architect and also a landscaper. Doug is the patron saint of lost books. So he will dumpster dive and he will go and retrieve books that are otherwise meant for landfill and bind them. He has a binding factory in the Mission District of San Francisco where he binds them into beautiful blank notepads for people to reuse. And he has wonderful hardcovers from, you know, over 100 years ago that people just throw out, and he makes into beautiful journals for people to buy. I could keep going, but Katie Kristen is our set designer. She paints everything for us by hand, and she also produces a series of plush and children's toys. She's very talented. She also has done animation in Hollywood. She has a background in clay animation and design. Jamie Zollers is our artistic director, and she has since moved to North Carolina, but she does do work for us still, and she is an illustrator. She's been with us since day one. And Sabrina Mutukisna is our food coordinator, and she has started a social justice-focused catering business that employs at-risk youth in Oakland to actually serve meals to large companies like Google and Yahoo corporate accounts, but employing youth that would otherwise, you know, not have many future and career prospects, and really mentoring them in the food industry. So I'm just saying, we have wonderful people who have wonderful stories, and okay, I could go on for hours basically because I'm so proud of them. But yeah, that's what our team is like. We're really people who are out there doing it every day, trying to make a living with our three jobs in San Francisco, but loving it every minute. So that's why San Francisco Bazaar, I think, is special.
And indeed, it does sound special. And I would be very flattered, quite honestly, if you called me part of a motley crew, because that, to an artist, can be a real compliment.
Yeah.
Tell me also, please, about what's going to happen if everything goes as planned. How many vendors do you project having? How many workshops?
So if we go as planned, I think we're going to have 200-plus vending spaces available. Majority of them will be our core and our wonderful, you know, returning artisans, crafters, and designers. And then the next largest pool would be our food makers. And then we have a special mezzanine set aside for our beer and wine brands to serve sample and to sell bottled wine on site. It'll be a really great event, I think, in that it's the first time that you can have such a wide range of makers present in Fort Mason at once, and really celebrating fall and Thanksgiving, the upcoming Thanksgiving holiday, and just the season of giving thanks, I think. With Christmas, we are so focused on rushing around and trying to meet all those family obligations for the holidays. I think Thanksgiving is a wonderful time to really enjoy this festival of making.
Tell me about your day when it's going to get to be November 7th and you wake up that morning. What's that day going to be like for you?
I probably won't have slept the whole night before anyway. Oh, I will be up at 4 or 5. Anyways, prepping. We get to the venue. We do a lot of setup. Again, it's our team, our Molly crew that I can't live without, actually. And we set up the affair ourselves by hand. We mark out spaces. We, you know, arrange for the staging stuff to arrive, the rental furniture. We coordinate with the venue. And then around, you know, 8 or 9 a.m., the vendors show up. And it is an amazing rush of people, right? I mean, hundreds of people coming into the event, finding their space and setting up, and us assisting them with that, of course. And so that's generally it. It's not much. It doesn't sound like much, but it ends up being a very big day for us.
It's funny you say it doesn't sound like much, but I'm hearing, you know, anything that doesn't sound like much usually has hours and hours of work behind it. That just seems to be the way that it happens.
Oh, yes. Months. Yeah, months.
How can people best support you as you get with this new event, the Urban Epicurean Festival, and what kind of support are you looking for? Do you need volunteers?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Call it Urban Epic Fest. We definitely want it. We want that nickname to catch on. I like it personally. And I hope that we leave an epic legacy in San Francisco and we continue to do this. It'll be really fun. The best way to support us is to get the word out. Our brand has been around. San Francisco Bazaar previously has been around for quite a while, but now this new show with this new brand is very, you know, unknown to everyone. So we would love it if you just passed around our link on social. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. You can find us at Urbic Epic Fest, basically on any social media platform. We love volunteers. We also love artisans who have never heard of us before to look at our show, look at our sponsor deck and our application page, and consider us. You know, we are a wonderful show. We are very vendor-centered. We care very much about the people, and we do care about really promoting your brands and your stories really well to the media. And last year, we had wonderful press. We were interviewed on the news, the local news, and we got to talk about our show. And I anticipate with this new brand and this new platform, we will get even more press this year. So I'm really excited to discover new artisans and new customers and new supporters and really just come out and talk about those stories.
As we wrap up here, and thank you for your time, what's one of your own all-time favorite, since you're happening before Christmas, I'll say any holiday memory you have, Thanksgiving or otherwise?
I don't know. There's so many. But I would say that the most wonderful holiday memory about the show was the year we did it at Fort Mason in 2010. We have moved around venues quite a bit. But in 2010, the Guardsmen, which is a nonprofit organization which sells Christmas trees starting Thanksgiving weekend, donated dozens of Christmas trees, and we lined the building with them, and it smelled so wonderful, and the customers were standing next to all the Christmas trees lit up and taking pictures, and that year we had actually started doing cutouts that people would pose next to, and we had a abominable snowman. He still lives in my garage. But people were posing next to him. It was such fun, and it felt very natural to have a whole forest of trees among wonderful handmade goods. It was a really fun year.
Jamie, thank you for your time today.
Thank you for having us and for being interested in Urban Epic Fest, and we really hope to, you know, continue to talk to you again next year, and hopefully we'll have wonderful things to report.
You and I have been listening to Jamie Chan, co-founder of San Francisco Bazaar and co-creator of the brand new Urban Epic Fest, happening Saturday and Sunday, November 7th and 8th at Fort Mason in San Francisco. You'll find more information on their website, urbanepicfest.com. That's urbanepicfest.com. And that concludes this edition of Noelophile. Thank you for listening, and may this Christmas season be filled with your favorite people, experiences, tastes, scents, and sounds.